Good afternoon. It's certainly good to be with you this afternoon. I thank the elders. I thank the elders for the invite this afternoon to be with you, to have the opportunity to speak God's word before you. And my hope is that what I have to say here this afternoon will be beneficial to you and that it will help you grow in your faith and with your walk with God. If you haven't turned to your Bible already, please turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 24, Joshua 24, verse 14 and 15, where we will begin this afternoon. Joshua 24, verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua calls the children of Israel to make a decision. They have a choice to make. It's time to decide. He shows them the history of what God has done for them, how time and time again He has delivered His people. He delivered His people from Egypt, saving them from bondage. Saving them from bondage, we parted the Red Sea. They crossed the Red Sea through dry land and drowning the Egyptians who were behind them. God, time and time again, has come through His people. And time again, He has come through His people when they were undeserving. He gave them a land that they did not toil or sweat for. He gave them the law. He showed them how to live. All this because He desires to have a relationship with man. And so today, us as Christians, we need to realize as God's people that He desires this for us. That He desires us to choose Him. He desires us to make that decision. From this day forward, He wants us to decide the commitment that we're going to make. Are we going to decide to choose God? God calls us to choose. God wants us to make a decision. He wants us to choose Him. Just as God had directed Joshua to call the children of Israel to choose, so we today have been called to make a choice. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Notice verse 20. We are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. The word ambassador means to represent, defined as someone who acts as a representative. Usually when we think of someone who is an ambassador, we think of a high-ranking diplomat, someone who represents someone or something. Usually today we think of an ambassador as someone who represents a country. We as Christians have been called to be ambassadors for our Lord Jesus. How awesome to think that we have the privilege to be known as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at the second part of verse 20. As though God were pleading through us, we have been chosen as a mouthpiece for God. God has called us to choose. He has called us to choose Him. We represent Jesus our Lord. We are to reflect His character and His ways. This is what God wants from us. He calls us to do this, and He calls us to do this so we can show who He is to others in our lives. To have this opportunity to represent the Lord of creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the One who was before all things. How awesome is it that we are ambassadors for our Lord? And if we choose God, He tells us that we will find Him. 2 Chronicles 15, verse 2 says, "The Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." In Jeremiah 29, verse 13, we read, "And you will seek Me and find Me when you search for Me with all your heart." If our heart is searching for God, we will find Him. If we search sincerely for Him and His ways, if we search for Him and what He wants from us, see, our culture is defined as those who seek God by their own standards. We need to seek God by His standards and what He wants from us. He is our Creator. He knows what's best for us, and He will do what's best for us if we trust in Him. Not only are we to seek our God, but we are to seek Him now. There needs to be some urgency in seeking our God. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, we read, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He may be near." James 4, verse 8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." Amos 5, 4 says, "Seek Me and live." Seek God and live. We have life when we choose to seek God. In 1 John 2, verse 25, a passage that should give us all comfort and assurance. And this is a promise that He has promised us, eternal life. What a great verse in chapter 2 of this epistle. Does this give you hope? Does this provide you with assurance, knowing that if you choose God and make that commitment, that He has provided you with everlasting life? In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, we read, "For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not a week from now, not a month, not a year from now, not 10 years down the road. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. We may never have another opportunity beyond this moment right now. You do not know what the future holds for you. You do not know if you'll be alive within the next few hours. You could drive home on the way home from here, and you could be killed in a car wreck. You do not know what the future holds. There needs to be a sense of urgency when we choose our God. There needs to be that I want to seek God, and I want to seek Him now. When I think of examples in the New Testament, I think of in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 8, in verse 36, we read about the Ethiopian eunuch and how Philip was told by an angel of the Lord to approach the Ethiopian eunuch, because the Ethiopian eunuch was reading Scripture. And Philip approached him, and Philip ran to the Ethiopian eunuch and asked him if he knew what he was reading. And the eunuch said, "How can I unless someone guide me?" When we scroll down to verse 36, after it says that he preached Jesus to the eunuch, it says in verse 36, "And now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized them. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." The Ethiopian eunuch heard God's word. He saw what he needed to do. He acknowledged his need for God, and he acted immediately. He decided to choose God. We as a people for God need to choose Him, and we need to make that commitment to choose Him with urgency. And not only that, God wants a relationship with His creation. Not only does He want us to choose Him, but He wants this relationship. This is what He desires. But even though this is something that He wants, this is not something that He wants to force upon us. This is not a relationship that He wants to force upon us. This is willful participation. He has not created us as robots, but we have been created as free moral agents with the ability to choose for ourselves whether we will serve God or not. God wants a relationship, but He wants us to desire it as well. In Proverbs 23, verse 26, it says, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." 1 Chronicles 29 says, "Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?" God wants our willful service to Him. God wants a relationship, but He wants us to desire it. He doesn't want us to choose Him out of obligation. This is not a service of a sense of "I have to." We cannot serve the Lord properly out of just commands. We cannot serve God properly out of a sense of "I have to do this" or "I have to do that." We got to realize God's blessings for us. We need to realize what God did for us in sending His only Son to die for us. Till we acknowledge that, till we learn that we serve Him out of love because He loved us, only then will we be able to serve Him properly. This is the type of relationship that God wants from us. And because of this, He created us to be like Him. In Genesis 1, verse 26, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness.'" He made us different from the rest of any creation. He gave man a spirit. He created us in His likeness. It is His desire for us to dwell with Him. Well, God created this in man from the very beginning. But what did man decide to do? He decided to rebel against God. Sin entered into the world and it defiled man. But even after that, God's plan has always been for man to dwell with Him. So what did our God do after sin entered in? Well, He did everything to make this relationship possible. Our God did everything to make this happen. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 16 through 19, says, "And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." He reconciled us through the cross. He gave us access to the Father. Key in on the last part of verse 19. We are members of the household of God. You think of prominent families in today's society, maybe in politics or maybe in sports. Think of Peyton Manning. Think of the Manning family. You think of Archie Manning. You think of his two sons, Peyton and Eli. How prominent that figures they are in today's society. How famous they are. Just think about if one of them came up to you and said, "I want to invite you into my family. You are now going to have the benefits of everything that we have. You're going to be able to partake in the riches and blessings of what our family has to offer." We have access to our Heavenly Father, the Creator of all things, because Jesus made it possible through the cross. How awesome is that? And above all this, He wants to have a relationship with us so much that He is patient toward us. And 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It is amazing that our Lord has not yet come back. This shows His patience. This shows His patience to a world who is very wicked. But He is giving opportunity for those who have not made that decision to turn to Him and to choose God. Brethren, if you do not make it to heaven, it will not be because God did not give you every opportunity to get there. God is calling you to make a decision. But with His patience, we should realize that it should not be taken for granted. In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." In spite of what the Mayans were telling us, we do not know when the world is going to end. As you can see, they predicted that the world would end a couple weeks ago, and as you can see, that we're all still here. But we need to remember that God is patient, but at the same time, we do not know when Jesus will come back. We do not know when this world is going to end. Do not take His patience for granted. Do not take His patience lightly. We need to embrace our relationship with Him. We need to embrace this relationship with Him, knowing that tomorrow may be too late, knowing that while we have opportunity now, we need to embrace it and we need to hold on to it with everything that we have. He made it all about us, so we need to make it all about Him. 2 Corinthians 5:15, I think, says this very well. "And He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and rose again." You see, now it is time to make everything about our Lord. He made it all about us. It's time to make the decision. Are we going to make it all about Him? Jesus put Himself on a cross. He came to this earth, suffered as a man, was mocked, was rejected. He was hung on a cross. Before that, He was beaten. He was spat upon. He had a crown of thorns shoved into His head. All this He did for us, a people undeserving. It should have been us that was on that cross. It should have been us who were made to suffer. God has had every right to wipe away man from the face of this earth. God wants a relationship with His creation. And He gave us Jesus Christ to make that happen. So how do we embrace this relationship with Him? How do we do this? Our character needs to match our position. In Colossians 3, verse 10, we read, "And have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of Him who created him." Scroll down to verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, hearing with one another, and bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, which you also were called in the body, and be thankful." Let's go back to verse 10. It says we have put on the new man. It has been said that the Christian life is simply becoming who you are. Simply becoming who you are. And let me explain that. Who we are is the reflection of Jesus Christ. This is who we become. So the Christian life is simply becoming who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to reflect His character. We are supposed to clothe ourselves in His attributes. We are supposed to be living a life glorifying Him. Glorifying Him and honoring Him in the way we live. Showing the love that He had for us and showing it to others. This is the type of relationship that our God wants from us. And this is the type of relationship that we need to embrace. Well, we need to let go of the past in order to do this. We need to let go of the past and we need to keep moving forward. Too many times Christians are hung up on their past. Hung up on things that have tangled in them up in their life in the past that have held them back. We need to look forward and keep going. The Apostle Paul believed this in Philippians 3, verse 13, where he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead." Think of the Apostle Paul. Think of his past before he became a Christian. He was having Christians thrown into prison. Saints were being murdered. He called himself the chief among sinners. Paul knew that he had a dark past, but he did not let that old man keep him down. He kept moving forward, pressing ahead, and looking to the goal that was set before him. We read this in Hebrews 12, verse 1. The goal that's set before us. "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." When you've ever watched someone in a race, or if you've ever been in a race yourself, you know that when you are in that race and you are running and you are striving for that finish line, you don't make it a habit of looking behind you. You keep moving forward. If you look behind you, it slows you down. If you look behind you, you may bump into someone. You may stumble. You may fall. We too, as Christians, if we continue to look behind, we are going to stumble. We are going to fall. We need to keep moving forward and pressing on. Determine that the world will not be your master. In 1 John 2, verse 15, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If your love is for the world, then you do not love God. It's that simple. If you love the world, you do not love God. Where is your loyalty? Do you love God, or is it with the world? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And I believe some translations there say God or riches or wealth. You cannot serve God and mammon, both. They're not compatible with each other. And embracing a relationship with God means that we are to leave the world behind and keep moving. The best way to do that is to place our trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the answer in overcoming the world. We read that in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 4, where it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Are you struggling with the world? Are you struggling with the things in the world? Worldly desires. Worldly desires that are holding you back, that are keeping you from what you know to serve God. Determine that the world will not be your master. Determine today that you're going to put it all behind. Determine today that you're going to make Jesus Christ the answer in battling those things of the world. Put your trust in Him, because He is there to help you if you choose Him. Because really, it comes right down to it. we have no logical reason not to choose God. We have no logical reason to choose anyone else but God. Because what's the alternative? Hell? Spending eternity in torment? Eternity separated from God in total darkness. There is no logical reason not to serve the God of heaven. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." We are children of God. What a blessing it is to be known that not only did God send His Son to die for us, but that in that we have also been adopted as His children. What an amazing thing that our God has done for us. We are children of God, and when this life is over, we are going to be like Him. How awesome is that? How awesome is it to reflect on what God has done for us? We need to embrace this relationship and hold on to it. Hold on to it and never leave. Do all that we can to continue to be strong, to continue to choose God, and to stay in a relationship with Him. If we continue to do that, if we continue to make our commitment towards God, never giving up, then He will not give up on us. Today is the day. Today is the day. Where is your commitment? Too many Christians are holding on to their old identity by the way they live, but most importantly, by the way they think. We have to leave it behind. Make the change today. Today is the day that I'm going to choose to serve God. Today is the day I'm going to leave it all behind. Today is the day I'm going to move forward and serve God. Today is the day I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus. Today is the day I'm going to remove all the lukewarmness. Today is the day I'm going to be totally devoted to Him. Today is the day I'm going to press on and move forward. Today is the day I'm going to choose Jesus. Today is the day I'm going to serve God. Because with everything that I've done, the past that I've had, the sins that I've committed, everything that I've been tangled up with in the past, bring it to Jesus, let Him wipe it all away, and decide to serve God now, and let Him work in you, and bring you to completion, to help you make the person that you need to be in serving God. Have you made that decision? Have you made the decision to choose God? Let me ask you, why would we ever want to go back to the old way? Why would we ever want to serve anyone else but our Lord? Just like in the book of Joshua in chapter 24, he laid it all out on the line. He made it clear what God had done for them. God makes it clear what He has done for us. Have you decided to choose God? Have you decided to make it all about Him? If you haven't done that, you can do that today. Make the commitment from this day forward, deciding that I am no longer going to stand on the fence. I am no longer going to have one foot here and one foot here. Put away all the lukewarmness. Make your commitment today that you are going to serve God and serve Him only. If you're not a Christian this afternoon, all things are ready. We ask you to choose God, because tomorrow may be too late. If you are a Christian and you've been struggling with things in your life, and you haven't been committed to God as you should, make the commitment today that you're going to take off the mask, stop pretending like you have it all together, repent of your sins, acknowledge your need for God, make it known today. Whatever your needs, desires, whatever they are, make it known this afternoon as we stand and sing.